Good evening, everybody. It's your boy, Big Dave Martell, here on another episode of The Bog. We are riding solo today, but with me, I am very honored to have a guest from all the way across the world, from Japan, Sensei Kimoto. He is a Shinto priest, and he's here to talk to us about Shintoism, and I have a few questions for him. So let's get right into it. Sensei Kimoto, welcome. Thank you, sir.
Hi.
So, we're going to talk about Shintoism. Here in the West, Shintoism is a little bit mysterious, as it's, we don't really have, we have one Shinto Jinja. A Jinja is a shrine here in the United States, in the West, at least one that is officially recognized by the Japanese priesthood. So if you could tell some of the Westerners here, maybe a brief explanation of what is Shintoism.
Shintoism is it's so difficult to explain. We are thinking about this nature itself as a kami. Kami is a god. But Shinto is not a religion, but a way to live with kami. And such kind of a lifestyle is called as a Shinto. That's why it's a little bit difficult to explain about the concept.
It's a very large concept to say, hey, what is this? And they, I run into the same thing when people ask me about my tradition. They say, well, what is your tradition? And it's like, all right, where do I start? You know, there's so much that goes into it. One thing I found fascinating in my little bit of Shinto research that I've been doing is the kami themselves, and how Shinto, as you said, is not so much a religion, but I would actually describe it from my Western point of view as a spiritual cultural custom, because I saw some of the statistics. It's something like 80% of the Japanese don't say that they are not religious. However, on your New Year's Day, something like 90% of Japanese go to a jinja to show their respects to the kami. So that was something that was really fascinating and also kind of very different from how we do things in the West. But what I wanted to ask you about is the kami themselves, because this is the main part of Shintoism, as you described. And the kami, you describe them as gods, and how are they similar, or maybe because me and my audience and people of my tradition, we are polytheists. We believe in many gods. So, however, kami to you are a little bit different than how we view gods. Could you speak on that?
How would you explain kami? So, I'm sorry, for it's kind of difficult to understand for me because of my English level. I'm so sorry.
So, how would you explain kami to someone overseas, Western?
Can you?
Would you say there's many kami or just one kami, or how would you say?
In Shintoism, so many kami, it's like a polytheism. So.
And how would you explain that to a Western? Just are there many gods in Shinto? So explain, how would we understand?
Can you ask my wife?
It's okay. Take your time. Take your time.
I'm not so good at speaking of
Okay. Hi. I'm Olivia. I'm Masafumi Sensei's wife. So how would we explain kami in Shinto? Is basically that it's very similar to polytheism. So we believe in many different kami in the world. And kami is usually translated as deity or god, but it also includes many other things as well. So, for example, natural features, or not only the spirit of something, but also the item itself or the natural feature itself. So anything that invokes a sense of awe is regarded as kami. So it's kind of a mix of polytheism and also kind of pantheism. You can't really define Shinto with one theism.
Mm-hmm.
It takes many different forms, so it's difficult to explain.
Yeah, I was doing some research into the nature of the kami, and I've even found that even in among Shinto priests, there is some debate on how the kami actually are. And one of the ones that was available in English, it wasn't all of his writing, but an individual named Motoori Norinaga. I'm sorry if I mispronounced that. But he spoke on, he had some actually very complex ways of understanding the kami. And he spoke about the kami as, yes, they are spirits, they are beings, but they can also represent pieces of nature that have metaphysical power to them, that have, anything that has, one thing that I noticed was a hot spring. There's a lot of Shinto that have reverence for these sacred hot springs. So what I've read is that these hot springs are very much regarded as a kami themselves. And I was really interested in that. Maybe one of you kind folks can elaborate on that. Is when you look at a hot spring or perhaps a mountain or perhaps a tree as a kami, is that tree or hot spring, a mountain, a kami itself, or is there a kami inside?
It's very good question. It depends. Like for example, in Suijin is kami of water, but their form is thought as like a dragon form. It's a metaphor of liver. Sometimes, like a liver gave us a mercy, and sometimes destruction too. Such kind of a parrot's like a image with rhythm as a like a form of a dragon. That's why so many Suijin shrines, like there is some like sculpture of like dragon and so on. Such kind of we saw like a kami's power behind of such natural workings. That's why. So it's up to the history of that. If that the hot spring has their own history, it's also like sometimes that the hot spring itself can be respected as kami sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And in several shrine, there's a tree. We are not so believing that tree itself as kami. But so comparing with like a Buddhism statue and so on, they are all like artifact. But the tree and the natural thing is created by kami. That's why for I don't know how to say so we will feel the kami's power behind of such kind of items which we can't create by ourselves. That's why it's kind of
exactly. So in other words, a statue is made by human hands. But human hand can't make a tree or a rock. So that's why we focus on the natural features as important.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, that makes perfect sense. That's really fascinating. So it's not that the kami, the tree is the kami. It's that the kami are entities of consciousness that shape the natural world. Is that correct?
Yes.
Fascinating. So we don't, because we could spend the whole time talking about the nature of kami. It is so fascinating, and there's actually quite a bit of depth to it when you get into. I wish more of this the Shinto stuff was available in English, so I could read it and really dig into it. But I did my best to find what was available to English speakers. As I mentioned, the fellow's name is Motoori Norinaga. He was a very brilliant man that was alive in Japan, I believe, in the 1800s. And he was kind of a philosopher of sorts. And for folks that are interested, they could check him out. How much does Shinto have to do with Japanese culture itself?
Sorry, could you repeat the question one more time?
Absolutely. How much does Shintoism have to do with Japanese culture itself? Are they woven together? Is Shintoism a part of Japanese culture? How much do the Japanese people, their everyday lives, how much of it is impacted by Shintoism or Shinto traditions?
In Japanese culture, how much is Shinto in Japanese culture? In Japanese culture, how does Shinto influence?
It's like all of culture is based on kind of like a Shinto based like a concept, and it's so so the Shinto existed before we tried to we started to use letters, and so the kind of relationship between like Japanese and the Shintoism is so deep, and most of the shrine had like a Ujiko. Ujiko is kind of Shintoism is kind of like a local religion. We were believing Shintoism with like a community. That's why when we birth on this land, so automatically we belong to some shrine. And we are keeping in touch with the shrine via some event, like a seasonal event, like a for harvest season and spring season. So we give offering toward kami and pray for the good harvest and so on. So when the shrine holds such kind of a seasonal event, the Ujiko, the followers which belong to that shrine was gathered, and we did like a festival together. But so on the other hand, they will belong to the other temple too. That's why this sounds kind of so unique for Western people, but we belong to some shrine and Buddhism temple as well together. So that's so we are being connected with some several like a temple or shrine via like a local event and so on. That's our like a style.
Culture and religions.
So the custom of Shintoism, you would say, is part of just folk tradition. Just it is woven into being Japanese.
Yes.
Very, very fascinating. Very fascinating. It's pretty different from what we have here in the West, where religion and culture are sort of separate. You know, there's some of it woven in. For example, we have, I'm sure you're familiar with Christmas, which is a much more ancient holiday, and so on and so forth. But it's very much separated. You know, we don't have that amount of togetherness with our spiritual customs as you do over there. But I wanted to ask you, what are the duties of a Shinto priest? Seems the video has frozen.
Awesome. Sorry about that.
It's okay. Technical difficulties.
Okay.
So, my last question was, what are the duties of a Shinto priest?
Duty is like to hold the ceremony and to talk about talk with the follower, those who is coming here to confess their difficulty and so on, and to hold a personal ceremony too, like a wedding and funeral. And when you build like a new house and so on, we will do a purification of land and so on. such kind of like a personal event and a public event, and so on, as a duty.
Excellent. And one thing that I noticed that I found really, really fascinating, this is something that, we in my tradition, I'm trying to speak slower. I'm naturally a fast talker, so I apologize if I'm getting crazy. But one thing that I found that was really fascinating that is also in my tradition as well is, but not to the extent of when folks come to the Jinja and they come and they do the purification rituals. They wash their hands, they wash out their mouths, they bow at the Kori gate, Tori gate, the gate there, and then they come up and they ring the bell and they give an offering, and it's and there's a whole ritual about it for everybody. Can you explain to us the importance of these rituals?
As a attitude to pray to the holy thing, like a Kamisama, we have to purify our body. And so we have to take some form to face to Kamisama. We have to keep our politeness toward to pray to Kami. That's why each steps to pray Kamisama when we go to shrine, it's kind of that such system is there. When we, for example, some of the shrine has a very long stairs way to that shrine, and climbing up that stairs, our mentor is turning into the form to pray Kamisama. Then we across the Tori gate is a it's kind of the border from like how to say
sacred
area under natural area, how to say
mundane area
and the sacred area. So when we pass that tree, it's already sacred ground. Then we wash our hand and mouth to purify. We have to keep clean our body to pray Kamisama, because if we don't do it, it's kind of lewd to Kamisama. That's why we are embody to the attitude toward Kamisama via these steps.
The process to be sincere, to show sincerity, we go through the entire process.
Very cool. That's beautiful. And we're starting to run out of time here, and this is another thing that I wanted to ask. This was really fascinating to me. So I had a question earlier about how Shinto ties into Japanese culture, and it's very prevalent in the creation myth of Japan itself. The Shinto creation myth, from what I've read, is the same as the Japanese creation myth, that there were two there's sibling kamis. I forget what the names were, but there were two kamis, brother and sister, that stuck their spears into the ocean, created the eight islands of Japan, and then they went and they lived there, and they had children, and they became all of the many kamis of Japan. And then a bunch of stuff happened, and they went into the underworld, and it was a really beautiful myth, really, really fascinating. So one thing that I did notice was in my religion, we believe very deeply in going to the underworld. We believe the underworld is where all the dead go. However, in Shintoism today, from what I've read, many folks believe that you become a kami yourself, and you reside there. Is there an afterlife in the underworld, or as the two creator kamis, or do you just become a kami yourself in the earthly world? If that makes sense.
Death in Shinto. We become eternal kami. Okay. I guess if it's okay, I'll answer the question.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So basically, in Shinto, we do have, as you said, in the myth of Izanagi Okami and Izanami Okami
that
created the islands of Japan. Yes. And Yomi is the realm of Izanami Okami, and that's kind of what everyone sort of believes to be more like the underworld. However, I find this is a common misconception. It is a realm of the dead, but is more a realm of decay. So for example, when we pass away and our bodies decay in the earth, Yomi is kind of symbolic, or not symbolic, but the spiritual realm of that form of death. But in Shinto as a whole, our spirits, our souls, are known as Mitama no Kami. And so when we pass away, we become Kami more fully, and we are honored as those Mitama no Kami when we pass away. And we don't go to any particular place, like an underworld, but it's said that the Mitama no Kami, the soul, can go to any place in the spiritual world or in the physical world. So it's not like the spirit is limited to one place. They could potentially go, but it's not so, there's not a strict theological explanation about the afterlife. It's very vague, and more just focusing on that when someone passes away, to do the proper rituals and rites for their Mitama no Kami, their spirit, when they pass away.
Very fascinating. So, wonderful. And I have one more question before we run out of time. And that is very much the Kami seem to be a deity or an entity that reside purely in either the material world or kind of the earthly realm. Is there something higher than the Kami? Is there a higher divinity than the Kami that maybe the Kami come from, or are the Kami the highest divinity?
No.
Okay. So, if you allow me, I'll answer again.
Absolutely.
Thank you. So basically, yes, in Shinto, Kami is the existence that invokes the most awe and the most reverence. So there's no existence higher per se than Kami. It's just Kami is the most honored existence in the, as we believe.
And do is there the belief that the Kami control perhaps the weather, or do they control the fates of men? Are there do the Kami have greater power over mankind?
Yeah, it's like a comparing with the monotheistic, like almighty Kami, Japanese almighty God. Japanese Kami is kind of different. I think so. Kami made a rule of this universe. Just like they program the working of this universe. But like that's why. So I don't know how to say. Like Kami brings like a creation and a demolition too. The creation and demolition is both sides of a coin, and we are not distinguishing like evil side and holy side of Kami. Kami brings mercy and sometimes like a destruction too. So that's why it's got even like Amaterasu Omikami, the very central Kami of Shintoism. There is a several mitama, like Aramitama and Nigimitama, Sakimitama and Kushimitama. Such mitamas, the type is there. The Aramitama means like, how do you say, rough side of Kami. And the Nigimitama is like a gentle side of Kami. So even same name of Kami, this Kami-sama is enshrined separately, like as a different Kami. Such kind of
worldview
we have.
So it's not so much that they're controlling things on purpose, but basically that the Kami set the laws of nature, and because they're a part of nature, that they naturally act in that way of nature. So as Kimoto Sensei said, there's Nigimitama gentle, so that's like how the sun rays allow us to grow food of Amaterasu Kami. And the rough side, Aramitama, is like how the sun can bring drought. and that causes us to lose food. So it's the duality of nature doesn't come from good or evil, but just the two different sides of it that come together and work within the laws of nature. But it's not necessarily they're controlling on purpose. It's just that is their natural existence and they embody that. So that's kind of the worldview we hold.
Fascinating. So they are sort of beholden to the overall order of nature.
Yes.
Fascinating.
They are the order of nature. Yeah.
They are the order of nature. Wonderful. Yes. Wonderful. That's beautiful. So we are unfortunately running out of time. I would very much like you folks, if you would like to direct somebody to, if you have your Komodo Sensei, to your YouTube channel, or if you have any sort of writing that you would like people to check out, give yourselves a plug.
Okay.
Yes.
Do you have anything to promote?
So I'm not good at like all conversation, but if you are so interested in my channel, please check my channel too.
Thank you.
Wonderful. Wonderful. Thank you so much for joining us, and many blessings your guys' way over in Japan. I hope everybody's doing really well over there with the disease that's going on, and I pray for your guys' future, and I hope you're doing well, and thank you again for coming on. Thank you.
Thank you so much, too. And please take care as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Okay.